الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask his aid and his forgiveness for our shortcomings. This, ya barakallahu fikum, is the second lesson as it relates to Sharh al-Waraqat. Sharh al-Waraqat as it relates to the ilm of usul al-fiqh, the science of is the foundations of Islamic jurisprudence. And we mentioned the last lesson, the definition, or rather the biography of the author, and we also mentioned the intent, our intention as it relates to studying this usul and its station, and that which comes under this is its origin and where and who was the first to gather this ilm into a fun, a science. This lesson today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to start and enter into the book or waraqat, the matan of this matan mukhtasar, a short, concise text as relates to usul al-fiqh. The qala al-mu'allif rahimahullah ta'ala, usul al-fiqh. Usul al-fiqh مركب إضافي من جزئين أولهما أصول والثاني الفقه، وصار هذا المركب علما على هذا الفن واسما له. He says رحمه الله تعالى that أصول الفقه is a compound إضافي. Is a compound idafi of two aspects, yani of two parts. The first of which is usul, and the second of it of which is fiqh. And then afterwards, it became a science in a compound form, as in usul al-fiqh, and a name and a title for this science and for this ilm. So regarding this, ya ikhwati al-kiram, we're going to deal with a few points. And this comes under the main heading, so to speak, of the ta'rif of usul al-fiqh, the definition of usul al-fiqh. Na'am. And the first point we're going to mention under this heading here, taken from the sharh of Shaykh al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and other than him, rahimahumullah, from the ulama, is the first point is ta'rif of usul al-fiqh as murakkabun idafiyun. He says murakkabun idafiyun. He says that is murakkab. It's a compound idafiyun. Yani, it's a compound of mudaf and mudaf ilay. When he says murakkabun idafiyun, is a compound of mudaf, part of it being a mudaf, and a part of it being mudaf ilay. And that is that which is the possessor and the one, or the thing that is possessed. The possessor and the one, or the thing that is possessed. So we have usul is mudaf, and fiqh is mudaf ilay. So we have usul yudafu ila al-fiqh, yudafu ila al-fiqh, and that usul is the first juz, and that usul is the first juz, and the first part, as some of the ulama have taken the path in defining usul of fiqh. The first juz, the first part is usul. So we'll define usul, and the second part is fiqh. And the second part is fiqh. And that is the second part. So the first definition of usul, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, this is the mu'allif, he says, well, aslu, yani usul, is the plural for asl. Yani foundations. Foundations, usul, the singular form of it is asl. And in the language, Arabic language, yutlaqu ala ma yubtana alayhi ghayruhu. Or qila ala ma yubna alayhi ghayruhu. Or yambani alayhi ghayruhu. In different ibarat from Ahlul Ilm. And that is that thing in which others branch from. That thing which others are built upon. That foundation. This is the definition of usul. That foundation where other things are built upon. Where other things are built upon. And things emanate from it. And things emanate from it. It's the definition of asl, al-usul. And this is the first juz of this tarkib, of this compound form of usul fiqh. And the asl, yutlaq, asl has many different types of meanings and usages, or usages in the deen or the ilm of the sharia, yani the legislation. It has many usages. The first usage is al-asl bima'na al-asas. Asl bima'na al-asas. That's the asl, origin, in which is the foundations of something. It's the foundation of something. And this is taken from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam tara kayfa daraballahu mathalan kalimatan tayyiba kashajaratin tayyiba asluha thabitun wa far'uha fis sama. Do you not see how Allah draws parables or gives examples of a parable of a kalimat tayyiba kashajaratin tayyiba, like a good word, a pure word, like a pure tree. Asluha thabit, and its foundations, yani its asas, its origins, is established. And many of the ulama of tafsir have said the kalimat al-tayyiba, the pure word, the ulama of tafsir have explained, is la ilaha illallah. This is the foundation, yani the foundation of the deen. The kalima, la ilaha illallah, the foundation of the deen. So the first meaning that is used is say something that is the asas or shaykh. It's the foundation of something. Just like the tree, it has its foundations and branches that emanate from it. The second itlaq that the ulama, or ways the ulama use al-asl, is ad-dalil. Is ad-dalil, yani proof. So for example, we have in fiqh, we have ghaslul al-wajh, wajib. Washing the face is obligatory in wudu. This is something which is established in the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, ghaslul wajh, washing the face is wajib. Naam, fil wudu, in ablution. So then the ulama they'll say, wal aslu. Naam, wal aslu. فأصله قوله تعالى فاغسلوا وجوهكم. The أصل of its obligation, the دليل, the proof, the evidence of its obligation is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wash your face, all of you. فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. This is the asl, yani the origin, the original proof, the main proof as it relates to this affair of washing the face, it being obligatory. And also we have the aslu wujub al-siyam fi Ramadan, the asl of the obligation of fasting in the month of Ramadan, shahr Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an huda lin-nasi wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan faman shahida minkum ash-shahra falyasum. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the month of Ramadan in which the Qur'an was revealed as a guidance and a clarification, nam, yani clarification for mankind. So who from amongst you witnesses the shahr, yani Ramadan, the shahr Ramadan, the month Ramadan, falyasum, then let him fast. This is the asl fi wujub siyam fi Ramadan. Yani this is the origin as it relates to the obligation of fasting in Ramadan. And likewise, the ulama uses asl, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you and prescribed for those before you in order for you to attain piety, taqwa. يعني. So the asl fi wujub or wujub al-siyam, the origin for the, as it relates to the obligation of siyam, the asl, yani the dalil, the proof, is in a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah. Now, so the ulama used as the itlaq, as in asl. And also asl is also used, number three. So first of all, we mentioned this asas or shay, the foundations of something. The second that we've mentioned is a dalil, the proof, the original proof, the main proof for something from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third we're going to mention is al-qa'idah, a principle. The ulama used the word asl to signify al-qa'idah. Al-qa'idah. And that is a holistic principle. A holistic principle. Like the qa'idah, as in is mentioned in the qa'id of Ibn Rajab, the qa'id of Ibn Rajab, and also many books written regarding the qawaid al-fiqhiyya. So for example, an example of this would be al-asl fi al-ashya'i al-ibaha, yani the origin of worldly affairs, for example, is al-ibaha, is it's permissible. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, he is the one who created everything, yani in the earth for you, yani halal. So the asl of ashya, the affairs, yani of the dunya, is al-ibaha, it's permissible. So asl is used sometimes by the kalam and the statements of ulama to mean qa'ida. This is a principle. So for example, eating with a spoon. This is an affair of the dunya. Naam. Is it halal or is it haram? We go back to the asl. And that is its asl. And the qaida. And that is that it is permissible because it's from the worldly affairs, based upon the ayah and other proofs. Naam. So sometimes asl is used in this regard. Point number two, al-fiqh. Fiqh, usul al-fiqh. The meaning of fiqh. the meaning of fiqh. The meaning of fiqh, lughatan al-fahmu. The meaning of fiqh, jurisprudence, linguistically, is understanding. Is understanding. And that is the meaning linguistically. That is the meaning linguistically of fiqh. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لا يكادوا يفقهون حديثا. لا يكادوا يفقهون حديثا. They can't understand a speech. لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, that they have a heart which does not understand. Fiqh, the asl, the salamakum Allah, the meaning of fiqh linguistically is al-fahmu. يعني لا يكادوا يفهمون. They do not understand. لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها. They have hearts that do not understand. They do not have fahm. لا يفهمون. This is the meaning linguistically of الفقه, which is the second juz of this مركب الإضافي. This is the second part of this compound statement, usul al-fiqh. That is fiqh. Linguistically, it means fahm. Now, as it relates to al-fiqh, as it relates to the definition of al-fiqh, according to the legislation, according to the language of the deen, the ulama have given different definitions as it relates to this. And the sahib al-matan, the sahib al-matan, yani the sahib of waraqat, Imam al-Haramain, he said al-fiqh ma'nahu shar'an ma'rifatu al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah allati tariquha al-ijtihadu thabitati li-af'al al-mukallafina khasa. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that fiqh, according to the definition in the deen, is knowing the legislative rulings, any rulings according to the legislation, in which it is attained through ijtihad. In which it is attained through ijtihad, and that is the derivation, the ulama, they derive. They derive and extrapolate. الثابتة لأفعال المكلفين, regarding the actions of those individuals who ibadah or acts of worship has been made obligatory upon. So the ulama, they derive. This is fiqh. They derive these ahkam, yani from the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for those affairs and those actions that ibad, the worshippers of Allah, those it has been made obligatory or upon them to act or to comply. And other ulama have explained that fiqh, as Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, in some of his works, he said that fiqh is fahm, is the same as the meaning linguistically. Fiqh is understanding. As he says rahimahullah ta'ala in here in the sharh of al-waraqat, he said, لكن لا نسلم أن هذا هو المعنى الفقه شرعا. يعني we do not accept the definition of Imam al-Haramain that the meaning of fiqh according to the deen is as he says. بل فقه شرعا يكاد يكون مطابقا للفقه لغة. He said it's almost, but rather fiqh is almost, يعني fiqh as it relates to its definition in the deen is almost exactly the same as the definition in linguistically, yani the linguistic definition, yani al-fahm, understanding. Illa an al-fiqh lughatan am, except that the fiqh, the meaning of fiqh linguistically is more general, yani more general, because you have fahm of many things. You have the understanding of many things. You have an understanding of the weather, the understanding of situations, the understanding of affairs of the deen, the understanding of the affairs of the hereafter, the understanding of mechanics, the understanding of many different worldly affairs. But as for the definition, he says, لِأَنَّهُ يَشْمُلْ فَهْمُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He said, because the linguistic meaning of fiqh, it means understanding everything. حَتَّى مَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِأُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا. Even that which is regarding and connected to the affairs of the dunya. وَالْفِقْهُ شَرْعًا إِنَّمَا يَخْتَصُ بِمَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِأُمُورِ الدِّينِ. But rather, fiqh, according to the legislation, is that understanding that is related to the affairs of the religion. So he doesn't go into the definition that Al-Waraqat is mentioned in by Imam Al-Haramain fi Al-Waraqat, but he says rather it's close in meaning to the definition linguistically, except that linguistically the definition of fiqh is more general because it incorporates all type of understanding of anything from the affairs of the worldly affairs. But as it relates to fiqh according to the legislation, then it's understanding the affairs that is specific to the deen, which is why we find the ulam, and that includes aqidah, and that includes ibadat, worship, and so forth, having fiqh, which is why al-aqidah and tawheed, the ulama have called this al-fiqhul akbar, the great fiqh, the great understanding, because it's the most important fiqh, and that is a fiqh of tawheed, and that is the understanding of a tawheed. Naam, ulama have said that. So here he says the definition is as such. But I found in his other works, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, we can say this is a third type of definition for fiqh according to the legislation. The first being that which Imam al-Haramaini mentions regarding the ahkam, the rulings of the legislation, that the mujtahideen, that the ulama, they do ijtihad to extrapolate the affairs for those who is upon them to do acts of worship. And the second definition is that of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in his Sharh of Waraqat, where he says that it's fahm, yani it's the same as the Arabic language in some sense, except that the Arabic language, according to the Arabic language, fiqh or understanding is more general, and that which is legislative is the fiqh, the understanding of the affairs of the religion. Number three then is a definition he mentions in his Al-Usul fi ilmi al-Usul, in his compilation of his metan that he wrote and compiled rahimahullah ta'ala in Usul fi ilmi al-Usul. He says rahimahullah ta'ala, wastilahan, yani fiqh, according to the legislation, ma'rifatul ahkam al-shar'iyya al-amaliyya bi'adillatiha al-tafsiliyya. He makes it more specific. He says that fiqh is ma'rifatul ahkam, knowing and having ilm of the ahkam al-shar'iyya, the legislative rulings, having knowledge of the legislations and its rulings, al-amaliyya, that are pertaining to actions, with its proofs that are detailed, with its detailed proofs. So you have ma'rifa, yani ilm, knowledge of ahkam shar'iyya, yani rulings taken from the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These rulings, like obligation, wujub, and tahrim, and prohibition, these are rulings. So with that, he's taking away exempting the ahkam al-aqliyya, yani those intellectual rulings. Like for example, that al-ma'rifatu anna al-kull akbar min juz, like saying the knowledge that something that is whole is more than something that is a part. This is something that's intellectual. He's saying amaliyya, so he's saying ahkam al-shar'iyya, that these rulings of the legislation that's specific from the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not something that's intellectual. Ma'rifatul ahkam al-shar'iyya al-amaliyya. And that is ما لا يتعلق بالاعتقاد. So he goes and mentions it more specifically now. He says, no, we take away al-i'tiqad. We take away creed and aqidah from it. We're talking only about the amaliyah, he says. And that is those actions like as-salah and as-zakah and doing hajj. Naam. So he says that the affairs of like tawheed and tawheed asma wa sifat, لا يسمى ذلك فقه في الاستلاح. يعني it is not considered fiqh, he says. So that's another opinion that he's had. So you see that Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the first one, which is more general, and that is that it means fahm regarding the affairs of the deen, and which is why some of the ulama have said that tawheed is fiqh al-akbar. And then he mentions another definition where is hakam shar'iyya, yani the rulings of the legislation, al-amaliyya, pertaining to actions, not aqidah, pertaining to acts of worship, na'am, like a salah and zakat and so forth. And then he said, and bi'adillatiha at-tafsiliyya, with its detailed proofs, with its detailed proofs. This is fiqh on its own, remember, ikhwan. This is the definition of fiqh on its own. We've defined usul on its own, and now fiqh on its own. And these are some of the statements that the ulama have mentioned. So here, bi'adillatiha tafsiliyya, this is not usul of fiqh. This is just fiqh. Like proofs for salah, and proofs for the proofs for salah being obligatory, or the being obligatory, the proofs of hajj, the ahkam and the rulings of hajj, and the rites of hajj, and zakat, and the specific rulings of zakat. Yani detailed proofs. Detailed proofs. How to pray, how to, kayfiyat al-salah, not obligation of salah rather, kayfiyat al-salah, how to pray, and so forth, siyam, ahkam al-siyam, mubtilat al-siyam, and so forth. And all this adilla tafsiliyya that are detailed, that are related to fiqh. And this is the definition that he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh al-Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, in his al-usul fi ilm al-usul. Naam. Is there a contradiction in this? No. There's no strictness as it relates to definition. Yani, umuman, that which we can take from this is that fiqh linguistically is more general, and fiqh according to the deen is more specific to the affairs of the deen. And some of the ulama have said it's even more specific than that. It's more specific to the acts of worship, not aqidah. But some ulama have mentioned that aqidah is included in this, in that aqidah is fiqh al-akbar, is the main fiqh, main understanding, and fiha wajh. And there is an angle in this to accept this definition. Naam. Point number three is, after defining usul al-fiqh separately as usul, the definition of usul, and then the definition of fiqh, now we define usul al-fiqh as one entity. Because after a while, after the ma'rif and knowledge of usul and knowledge of the meaning of fiqh, it's become a science, where usul al-fiqh, these two words, have now become one entity. And the definition of this, as the ulama have mentioned, is that ma'rifatu ahkam al-shar'iyya al-amaliyya bi'adillatiha al-ijmaliyya. And the ulama have mentioned that the definition of fiqh, usul of fiqh in general, is the knowledge of the rulings from the legislation in general. So it's more general. Whereas fiqh on its own is specific, talking about different ahkam, different rulings of the salah, the different rulings of this and different rulings of that. But the usul of fiqh is general. Usul of fiqh is general. Ijmaliyya. The ijmaliyya ayil al-qawa'id, like principles. Whereas fiqh on its own is the proofs and evidences for certain acts of worship. Na'am. certain acts of salat, the salat, zakat, the proofs and evidences. As for usul al-fiqh, this is ijmaliyya, the legislative rulings of acts of worship with its general proofs, yani principles, al-qawaid amma, general principle, like al-amr lil-wujub, like al-amr lil-wujub, wa al-nahyu lil-tahrim, where al-amr, a command from Allah, if'al, do, a command lil-wujub, it necessitates obligation. This is usul al-fiqh, a general principle that is used for many affairs. وَالنَّهْيُ لِتَحْرِيمِ, and prohibition necessitates something being haram. This is usul al-fiqh, not the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, and the proofs from the Sunnah, the proofs from the Quran, and the this, la, general principles. General principles pertaining to affairs of the ahkam. Not tafsiliyya, but al-ijmaliyya. Tafsiliyya is fiqh, detailed proofs. Ijmaliyya, general principle-based proofs, is usul al-fiqh, and that is what, yeah, barakallahu feek, the ulama have mentioned as it relates to the definition of usul al-fiqh in al-waraqat and an explanation of Shaykh al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimullah ta'ala. And then point number four is, we have the difference. My question I'll ask you, or I'll ask, is what's the difference between fiqh and usul al-fiqh? That's point number four. What is the difference between fiqh and usul al-fiqh? And I'm sure you know the answer now, inshallah, that fiqh is more detailed proof. Fiqh is more detailed proof, and usul al-fiqh is more general proof, is general. The difference between fiqh and usul al-fiqh is that fiqh is pertaining to detailed proofs, which is why books such as Umdat al-Ahkam, Bulugh al-Maram, are books of fiqh, not books of usul al-fiqh, because they have detailed ahadith and narrations of the from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to ahkam and rulings. That's fiqh. As for usul al-fiqh, this is pertaining to general principles. General principles. Now, point number five. What is the difference between al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya wa usul al-fiqh? Al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya wa usul al-fiqh. Al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya هي القواعد الجامعة لأحكام الجزئية. نعم. The قواعد الفقهية are general principles. General principles that are used. So it's actually more general than أصول الفقه. قواعد الفقهية is more general than أصول الفقه. And أصول الفقه is more general than fiqh. So as it relates to it being general, the most general is qawaid al-fiqhiyya, which is al-qawaid al-amma, even more general principles than usul al-fiqh. Like the what we mentioned, barakallahu fiqh, al-asul fil ashya al-ibaha, that the origin of the worldly things is it being permissible. This is a general principle. But it's more general than al-amr lil-wujub. Now this is more specific, saying that that command necessitates obligation. So the more it's more specific, yani it's more it's usul al-fiqh. This is usul al-fiqh. But as for qawaid al-fiqhiyya, is more of a general principle than usul al-fiqh. And that is what we're dealing with here: obligation, wujub, wajib, haram, mustahab, masnoon, permissible, makruh, disliked, and also batil, valid, invalid, and sahih, valid. These are all affairs of usul al-fiqh. These are all affairs of usul al-fiqh. But as for qawaid al-fiqhiyya, it's more general. It's more general than usul al-fiqh. It's more general than usul al-fiqh. Now, and by the way, ikhwati al-kiram, we're going to deal with these principles and this matan of al-waraqat. We're going to simplify it as much as we can and deal with the aham shay and points that the Imam al-Haramain, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala. And now we're going to go to point number six, and that is ahkam al-shar'iyya. In this definition of usul al-fiqh, he mentioned ahkam al-shar'iyya. Remember, ya ikhwati, ma'rifatu al-ahkam al-shar'iyya al-amaliyya bi-adillatiha al-ijmaliyya. Yani knowing the ahkam al-shar'iyya, the ruling, the legislative rules, the rules of legislation pertaining to actions, bi-adillatiha al-ijmaliyya, with its general proofs. Yani, this is usul al-fiqh. Now we're going to deal with point number six, and that's speaking more specifically as it relates to ahkamu shar'iyya. Ahkamu shar'iyya that is mentioned by Imam al-Haramain in al-Waraqat, and also other than him from the ulama of usul. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-ahkamu shar'iyya al-fiqhiyya. المرادة في تعريف الفقه السابق سبعة: الواجب، المحذور، المندوب، المكروه، والصحيح، الصحيح، الباطل، المباح. He mentions here, رحمه الله تعالى, that the legislative ahkam and rulings of fiqh, that which is intended in the definition mentioned previously, yani in points 1 to 5 in your notes, inshallah, is sab'a. These ahkam, these rulings are seven general rulings. And that is al-wajib, yani obligatory, number one. And number two, he says, is al-mahdhuru, and that which is impermissible, haram, yani al-haram. And then al-mandubu, and that which is preferred, mustahab. And the fourth is al-makruh, and that which is disliked. And the fifth is as-sahih, and that which is valid. And the sixth is al-batil, and that which is invalid. That which is invalid. And the final one he mentioned is al-mubah, and that is that which is allowed. Regarding this point, ya ikhwati al-kiram, of the matan here, or matan he mentions, rahimullah, what we'd like to do is simplify this affair. I mentioned a few points, sub-points related to this from the kalam of some of the ulama. The first point is that we can categorize these seven affairs of ahkam into two main categories. The first category, walaikum salam. Hello. وقت الإشاء أيوة خلاص إن شاء الله لا خلاص إذا إن أحببت نستمر على كيفكم أنتم يسأل الطلبة الإخوة نستمر أو إن شاء الله نكمل الأسبوع القادم على ما تحبون استشيرهم أخبرني عفواً نكمل بعد صلاة العشاء خلاص أنا بانتظاركم إن شاء الله
فيكم بارك الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نعم. So إمام الحرمين الجويني رحمه الله تعالى in his ورقات mentions more details as it relates to the definition of أصول الفقه and أحكام الشرعية العملية بأدلتها الإجمالية أحكام الشرعية the legislation, the rulings of the legislation, rulings pertaining to the legislation. And he mentioned that this is an offshoot of the definition of usul al-fiqh. He mentioned seven different ahkam, seven different rulings in this order: obligation, wajib, mahdhur, haram, impermissible, mandub, preferred, makruh, dislike and detested, as-sahih, correct, valid, and al-batil, invalid. And then he mentions the seventh, which is al-mubah, which is permissible. Regarding this, we're going to mention, as we said previously before the break, that in reality the ahkam al-shar'iyyah, the legislation and the rulings of the legislation, is generally yanqasim or tanqasim ila qismain. It's generally categorized into two different categories, and that is al-ahkam al-taklifiyya. That's the first qism, and the second is al-ahkam al-wad'iyya. And that's the second category. The ahkam al-taklifiyya is pertaining to the worshipper. It's pertaining to the worshipper and the rulings of that which is upon the worshipper to do, whether it is obligatory upon the worshipper to do, or it is impermissible for the worshipper to do it, haram, or it is preferred for the worshipper to do it, mustahab, or it is disliked that the worshipper to do it, makruh, or it's allowed for the worshipper to do it, meaning there's no particular reward for it and no punishment for leaving it. And that is, salamakumullah, al-mubah. This is what is understood as ahkam at-taklifiyya, yani, and that is the personal obligation, duty of the abd, the slave. Taklifiyya is mukallaf. As for al-wada'iyya, this is different. This is pertaining to, as the ulama have said, hiya alamatu aw al-amara al-shar'iyya التي يثبت عندها الحكم أو ينتفع أو ينتفع. And that is the signposts that the legislator in the legislation, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has placed as signs to establish an act, whether it is correct, valid, or whether it is invalid. So the difference between the two is that a taklifiyya is generally what the abd is supposed to do or not supposed to do, and the al-wad'iyya is within those actions there are conditions. This is the wad'iyya. These are signposts, conditions that the abd has to do in order for it to be fulfilled. An example of this is as-salah is wajib. Praying five times a day is wajib. This is ahkam at-taklifiyya. So it's upon the abd to perform as-salah. It's upon the abd to perform as-salah. Wa aqimu as-salah, and establish as-salah. So prayer is obligatory. This is taklif. But as for the wad'iyya aspect of this, is that al-wudu is a shart. Al-wudu is a shart lis-sihhati salah. That doing wudu is a condition for that action of praying to be correct, yani to be sahiha, to be valid. This is wada'iyya. So Allah has put signposts and conditions and rulings in that regard to show whether that action is valid or invalid. So number one, ahkam al-taklifiyya, is to do with the actions upon the slave, whether it's obligatory, preferred, disliked, impermissible, or simply permissible, allowed. And the wada'iyya, the second category, is within those obligations, there are certain conditions for that obligatory act to be correctly done and accepted and so forth. And this is the conditions and show for the mani, those things that he must stay away from and so forth. These are signposts that Allah has placed. That's why it's called wada'iyya, from wada'a, place. Allah has placed it in order to show whether that action is correct, sahih, or is batil, yani invalid. So, to bring it to the statement of Al-Juwayni here, rahimullah, where he mentions the ahkam. He mentions seven. Five of those is placed under the taklifiyya, and two of those are under the category of al-wada'iyya. The five that are upon the category of a taklifiyya is al-wajib, obligatory, haram, impermissible, mahdur, al-mandub, yani masnoon, mustahab, preferred, number three. Number four is al-makruh, disliked, and number five is al-mubah, it's allowed. These are the five ahkam al-taklifiyya, as the ulama have mentioned, with al-mubah being an issue of khilaf bayna ahl-ilm, but in reality, it's part of the taklif. Now, as for the second category of ahkam, and that is al-wada'iyya, things, signposts that have been placed, two of those that are mentioned by al-Jawaini rahimullah here are as-sahih, yani signposts to show whether that action is valid, and al-batil, yani signposts to show whether that action is invalid. Naam. So these are the seven categories mentioned. That's the first thing that we wanted to mention regarding this aspect of the matan. The second is the statement of Shaykh al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that the order in which Juwayni mentions the seven ahkam al-shar'iyya is rather questionable, the order in which he has given here, in that he's mentioned mubah last, almost placing it alongside as-sahih and al-batil. For those who have the matn, you can see he mentions al-wajib, al-mahdhur, al-mandub, makruh, as-sahih, al-batil, al-mubah. He mentions al-mubah next to as-sahih and al-batil. When al-mubah is taklifi, it's things that is from the actions of the slave to do or not to do, mubah. So rather it should be al-wajib, al-mahdhur, al-mandub, al-makruh, and then al-mubah. So then we have all of the first category together, the five ahkam al-taklifiyya, and then we have the other two category, al-wada'iyya, as-sahih, valid, and al-batil, invalid, in one category, because they are from the same jins or sinf. They are from the same sinf. Naam. I hope that is clear, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So this is the precinct in which we, inshallah, will move forward in the next coming lessons, dealing with these seven ahkam. And this is the heart. These are the heart of ahkam al-shar'i, the usul of fiqh, and this ahkam al-shar'iyya. And it's something that we need to understand, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in order for us to understand the branch type of affairs as it relates to usul al-fiqh. The next point that we want to mention is al-wajib. al-wajib. And we, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, maybe we can leave that for next week, because the mabhath on al-wajib is quite detailed. But what we do is give you an outline of what to expect, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in next week's lesson. And that is, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-wajib wa huwa naw'an. Al-wajib, that which is obligatory, from the ahkam al-taklifiyya. He says it's two categories. Naam. He's generalized it into two categories, and that is kifai and aini. Kifai, which is obligatory upon some of the community, and if it is performed by some of the community, the obligation is lifted from the rest of the community. And the second category mentions al-aini, and that is that which is obligatory upon everyone. He's mentioned that category, but there's going to be other types of categories or definitions we're going to mention. So we're going to mention for wajib, we're going to, inshallah, next week we're going to do the five ahkam that's wajib, and that is mahdhur, yani haram, and mustahab, preferred, and salamukumullah, disliked, and also mubah. We're going to mention number one, bi'idhnillah, the ta'rif, the definition, and number two, the thamara, the fruits. So remember, for every of these definitions, there's going to be a definition and there's going to be a fruits or hukum ruling that's emanated from the definition, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, for wajib. And in it, inshallah, will incorporate affairs of aqidah, as some of the ulama of usul have emphasized in these definitions, some of the ihtirazat and some of the things that they're careful about regarding the definition, in order to keep in the boundaries of the aqidah as-salafiyyah. So inshallah ta'ala, next week we do the wajib and the other ahkam al-taklifiyyah, and then inshallah, if bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, probably after Isha next week, we'll do the wada'iyah, the sahih, and the batil, the valid and the invalid, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in implementing that which we have read from the statements of the Ahlul Ilm, and to make it be for him and bring us closer to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. والحمد لله رب العالمين حياكم الله.